Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Vassar and New York Stage and Film's second main stage powerhouse production this summer is The Waves, a musical adaptation of the novel by Virginia Woolf. The piece, which features a book by Lisa Peterson and music and lyrics by the late David Bucknum, was produced nearly 30 years ago in New York City. The version running at Vassar July 19th through the 29th features additional music and lyrics by Adam Guan and employs four-time Tony Award nominee Raul Esparza as creative consultant and actor. Esparza's Broadway credits include Cabaret, The Rocky Horror Show, Taboo, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Company, The Homecoming, Speed the Plow, Arcadia, and Leap of Faith. Television credits include Pushing Daisies, Hannibal, The Path, BoJack Horseman, and he recently ended a six-season run as ADA Rafael Barba on Law & Order Special Victims Unit. After wrapping up a read-through of The Waves, Esparza joined me in a conference room at Vassar to talk about the work. I began by asking how long he'd been involved.
We started talking about this last summer. A teacher of mine from Playwrights Horizons had written this piece. His name is David Bucknum. He was an extraordinarily gifted wonder kid. He died at the age of 32, and he had written this piece when he was 21. So it's been something that I've known about but never saw for many, many years of my life. And last summer, Bob Moss, who was a teacher of ours at Playwrights, who founded Playwrights Horizons, came up to me after an event at Lincoln Center that was honoring Andre Bishop, and said, "You should look at The Waves," just sort of randomly out of the blue. And I thought, how do we do that without David Bucknum? And he said, "It's beautiful material. Look at it. Help it live again." So I reached out to Lisa and thought, I don't know how we'd solve this puzzle. But Bob brought me this material to look at and to listen to. And there's something really gorgeous here. It was originally done at New York Theatre Workshop, though David and Bucknum and Lisa Peterson had originally worked on it at the Hangar Theatre that Bob Moss also ran. So Lisa and I talked about, what shall we do? Let's see how we proceed. Can we get the rights from the Woolf Estate? How does this work? How do you redevelop a musical that has existed for 30 years but didn't have a life beyond New York Theatre Workshop and without the composer? We had the idea to approach Adam Guan, who Lisa had worked with and who was also a student of David's at NYU. And we sort of, it feels slightly miraculous, put together a reading of the piece last October in New York through the auspices of New York Stage and Film, and discovered that there is something quite wonderful at its core, particularly in the ways that Virginia Woolf talks about life in a very big sense and in a very specific sense. The details of her story feel incredibly universal, and it seemed like a lovely project to pursue because it felt timeless. And that led to this situation a year later, which seems incredible to me that we're here actually working on it.
When Bob Moss brought you the play, did you have any familiarity with the novel, with the piece by Virginia Woolf?
I did, in fact, have familiarity with the novel because I had read it when I found out that David had adapted it. David was one of those teachers that everybody sort of wanted to emulate and was completely inspired by. And I didn't know anything about the novel until I heard that this musical had existed, and there was no way to see the musical, so I grabbed the book and thought, you know, at 20, I can do this. It's a very hard piece of writing, but it spoke to me, and it spoke to me deeply. Virginia Woolf is a novelist. Aside from being one of the great voices of modernism in the 20th century and a powerhouse for women's representation in the world, she is a novelist who also is able to name the unnameable. And reading The Waves, my first experience of it was a constant series of, actually out loud, a sense of like, I'd recognize that. And the novel changes as you get older. So you read it again, you go, oh, I recognize this too. And some of it's very bittersweet. It's partly what we're working on is to make the show grow up. Since David wrote it when he was 21, the show needed to grow up. He was fascinated with a lot of the early parts of the novel. But the novel grows up with you too. So I was familiar with it in that sense, that I had struggled my way through it as a sort of English major goal to get through this thing. And found it really exciting, difficult but exciting. And yeah, Woolf became one of my favorite writers. I've read a lot of her writing.
In the workshop that you did previous to this working through, did you perform in that workshop?
I did. I read the role of Bernard that I'm performing here.
When I read who the people are, the sort of like little brief summaries of them, and I've not read the novel, I was like, oh, I bet Raoul is playing Bernard. It's got to be Bernard, right?
Why is that?
I'm not sure. I just like thought so.
Yeah, Lisa told me Bernard is the part that David played. When she first adapted this, she adapted it as a play straight out of Yale. She thought this should be on stage and did a version of this as just a play at the Hangar in Ithaca. And David was in it. I think he was 17 or 18 years old. And he said, this should be a musical. And she said, that's insane. You'd have to write lyrics. You can't change any word of Virginia Woolf. And he said, I'm going to do it. So he wrote a project. He was at Ithaca College. He wrote a sort of oratorio based on this novel that he had performed at Ithaca College. And Bob Moss heard that and said, you should come do this. It's a good idea for a musical here. And so they teamed up and started to create it based on David's audacious idea that you could turn this into a musical. It does work in many ways because it's a series of monologues, essentially, the novel. It's six characters reciting their thoughts, which is what musicals are. You sing what you think or feel. What is really marvelous about what he did is that I would say 95% of the words are Virginia Woolf set to music. It's prose, but it reads like poetry. And it scans gorgeously, you know.
When the beginning of the novel, before one person's soliloquy takes over, it does have like short things are back and forth. It is very poetic already as a novel.
Yes, it is. She said that she wanted to write a kind of play poem. She was looking for a new way to tell the story of human consciousness without plot. Virginia Woolf believed the character is made up of the faces that we present to the world, that there is an I that is shaped by many, many influences, how we behave and how we describe ourselves, but also way inside the person that talks to us when we talk to ourselves. She wonders, who is that? Who is, when the self speaks to you, who is speaking? And so she wanted to capture that process of thought on the page, unmediated by activity and by external descriptions of the paradigms of behavior to say that that's what defines a person, but rather that we are constantly trying to define ourselves. Bernard is the character in this story who is trying to make a coherent story out of this, out of our lives, out of this sense of shifting personalities. In the novel, by the end, it begins in the morning when the sun rises and it ends when the sun sets. It spans a day, but the day is their entire life. They are born, and by the end, they die. And in the end of the novel, the last chapter is narrated entirely by Bernard because he is summing up their lives. And the extraordinary thing he suggests is that he is maybe all of them. There are three men and three women, and maybe they are all one person. They are all facets of one extraordinary personality, which isn't that extraordinary because it's how we all are. We contain multitudes. We become different people based on who we're with and what we experience. And she's trying to encompass that. It lends itself quite beautifully to a series of solos and duets and trios, and in David's construction, a lot of choral writing, where the six come together to describe the movement of the sun in the sky, the day passing, or their activities as kids. You narrate what you're doing as you're doing it on stage. What you say happens. What you say is what you are in the moment. We're still struggling to figure out how that all works. And we also are struggling to figure out, as we create this new version of it, how to tell a more mature story. Because Virginia Woolf gets very deeply into the heart of the disappointments of life and the ways we lose people and the things we face when we have to face the fact that one day we won't be here. And do we go on? How do we impact people? Do we last at all? Or is it just this relentlessness and we disappear? Which she doesn't believe. She creates a almost hopeful sense that we can kind of ride against eternity. And that's also a pretty great way to tell a story in a musical. It sounds like very heady stuff, but where it hits you is deeply in your heart, because the moments that it's made of are the little details of everybody's life. Girls going to their first dance in a school. And that one girl who figures out that maybe she's not going to be very popular. And maybe no one's going to talk to her at that dance. And we've all been that kid. Or boys going away to school together who are terrified of what they will encounter. And drawing on personalities for the girls they're going to meet, or one young man who figures out that he's gay, but he can't admit it to anybody, or another kid who is really smart, but comes to discover that he has to have a job, and he has to become a businessman, and another girl who discovers that she's really kind of sexy and powerful in her body, but what does that mean as she gets older? Another one who thinks, I just want to be a mom, and becomes a mom, and has lots of kids, and then wonders, is this all there is? Or in the case of Bernard, one of the things that really hits me, and that I relate to now, he comes to the point where he's wondering, am I as talented as I thought I was? Is my life going to be as great as I thought it would be? And am I, he wants to be a writer. He's like, maybe I'm never going to write that great novel. These are all moments that we all ask ourselves privately, like, what am I going to leave behind? And who am I? What am I worth? So though it seems like really big themes, they're actually couched in very specific details that we all live in our lives.
As you were speaking, I was thinking, and you'll forgive me if it's a leap, but mm-hmm. You said Bernard is the character trying to make sense of the story. You're a creative consultant on this piece trying mm-hmm. to make sense of the story. It's like an added kind of bonus connection from where I'm sitting in this moment.
It is, but it's also an interesting thing because it makes me divide my brain in a way that I'm not used to. As an actor, you really have to struggle to be inside the piece and be part of the cast. And then there's the extra level here of thinking about the piece from the outside simultaneously. I'm a creative consultant on this in that the project came to me. I got excited about putting it together. Lisa and I said, let's do this thing. And we started to assemble the team. And so we have been dreaming of this together. And as the team has expanded to include Matt, our musical director, Mary Mitchell, our supervisor, a whole series of people who are now coming on board, the family gets larger and larger. And it's incredible to have been, one of the guy who spearheaded that idea, that it happened last summer and here we are. And also, Lisa and I had very specific ideas about what we wanted to try to see if the show could be, which is what New York Stage and Film affords us. Mm-hmm. We can make some dumb choices or we can make some brilliant choices and it's going to be okay. We can take things out and put things in. We can struggle to figure it out in front of an audience, hopefully with forgiveness and love, to figure out the best way to tell this story. It's what this space affords you. And it's very smart that we're doing it as a production because a production forces decisions that other things don't. We could sit and read this forever and then it'll be in our heads. But having to get up on stage and articulate it physically forces us to go, that's a spot, is this clear, is this not clear? And it's wonderful to be part of that conversation. It's great. As an actor, you don't often get to do it, but it's definitely scrambling my brains. I mean, I'm fried.
We're speaking with Raul Esparza about The Waves. Vassar and New York Stage and Film presents a production at their Powerhouse Theater July 19th through the 29th.
Adam Guan is writing additional music, new music for the piece. How has he come into the team and how's it going?
Adam's become an essential asset for the team. Honestly, he is working so hard. He's stitching pieces together. He is somehow, in an extraordinary way, writing in David's voice, but it isn't David's voice, it's Adam's voice. He's sort of the glue that we can turn to and say, we need something here, what is this? And he's dreaming kind of what today's version of the show would be. So we're essentially creating a new musical using David's voice, using David's music, using Lisa's inspirations, and using Adam's versions of David and also versions of himself. He's written some entirely new pieces that are among the most successful things in the show. So this is an interesting hybrid. It's like a revisical. It's not a revival. It's a new musical, but it's also a revival. Adam has a singular voice as a composer, and he's sublimating that a bit to use David's chord relationships, his harmonic lines. And sometimes I'll hear things and go, oh my God, that's totally David. But it's actually a piece that Adam has created. He's a real gift here and a joy to work with, and it feels like we have a composer in the room who's helping us create a brand new experience. And it's essential. You cannot write a musical if you do not have the freedom to make very big changes, and in order to do that you need a guy or a girl at the table saying, here are the notes, and that's Adam.
You've recently left Law & Order SVU, mm-hmm. and like you just said, you're doing this new, different thing, being the creative consultant. Was there a locked down decision that you were ready to try it, or was it just the sequence of events and you rolled and here you are?
I think very much like what I was talking about with the waves, I feel like a life is sort of what you want to be right now as opposed to what you will always be. And a career in the arts is never as easily planned as you think. So things kind of guide you, and you end up stepping into places that surprise you. And often the places that surprise you are exactly where you should be. This was a case of knowing that it was important to me to begin to create work. I'm Cuban American. There are stories I would like to tell about my own family and my own history, and that's been percolating as well. And it just feels like I'm at a place in my life where I am afforded the great luxury of having been on a series for 6 years, having done a lot of work as an actor that I'm proud of, and feeling somewhat successful and confident.
I hope so.
You never feel totally so, but that I feel like this is a good use of my time to begin to create work. I would like to create more life in the life of the theater, the film, the television stuff that I do. It's important, I think, to use every last bit of yourself if you can. Exhaust it. You know, I can sing, I can act. I used to be able to dance. I can write, I can collaborate, I can act on stage, and I can act in front of a camera. I can tell stories well, and I have a lot to learn. So I'm excited to sort of see where that goes. It was not a decision that was like, now I'm doing this, but rather a kind of percolating sense like, hey, there's things I'd like to start exploring. And then it kind of comes into your life in an interesting way. And I'm just kind of open to that right now. Mariska, my co-star on Law & Order, is someone who treats every single episode we do as though it were the first. And I don't know how she does it. But she walks on set every 8 days of filming and treats the guest stars and the people who come into the room as though they were the most important people there, and the whole experience becomes new. I think that's how she has managed to stay so wonderfully present for 19 seasons. What it does is give permission to everybody else to sort of join in the fun of it. But what it really inspired me to see, particularly in her, is that every experience is worth pursuing. Every day is a new opportunity to try something new and learn something new, and that these are all springboards, you know. So it's kind of tied together in a little bit of the inspiration I saw in the ways that she dreams and in the people around me that I saw creating things that I thought I want to join that conversation.
You recently were in chess at the Kennedy Center. I wonder, does it feel like a while ago or does it feel recent?
It feels like 100 years ago, right?
I bet.
It does. This work is so intense that it feels like chess was another lifetime. I was just in London a few weeks ago, and that feels like I wasn't there. We're walking around Bloomsbury and going to Cornwall and seeing the places that are described in the musical. But chess feels like a million years ago. And yet, potentially something that might live in the future. That's why we were working on it. That was like a rock concert. And it was such a great experience to get to do it. It's one of the first musicals I fell in love with as a kid. We didn't have musicals in my house growing up. We didn't listen to it. There were some, but I don't know how I became attracted to musicals. I just had a girlfriend in California who had the concept album of Chess, and it was one of the first things I remember being like, that is great, you know. That summer, it was Chess and Sweeney Todd. Those were the two that I was like, ooh. Oh, and Evita, which I got to do. Yeah. So now, you know, now I just got to do the third one. I've done Chess and Evita, and maybe someday Sweeney Todd.
You have to.
I have to. I got to play that part.
You will. You have to. Yeah. Where's the money? I'll do it right now.
Let's do it. Yeah. So it was really great to get to visit it. And Michael Mayer, who directed it, was my acting teacher in college. So it was this perfect, beautiful full circle. And it was just a tremendous cast, and the sound of that thing is great. And the audiences were losing their minds. It's a great look at the show, what we did at the Kennedy Center. Danny Strong, who rewrote the book, has really set it in a strong Cold War setting so that it's almost like the Cold War musical. And it's not a history lesson exactly, but that is so firmly rooted in the late 70s and in the 80s, that became a wildly powerful asset on stage. The audience was resonating with lines, unfortunately.
Right.
That were just kind of zinging off the walls at the Kennedy Center about the Cold War and about Russia and about our standing as a world power. And suddenly the play was like, oh my God. People were cheering about the politics of it. And I thought, well, this is wild. Because I thought this time had come and gone. I thought that, you know, I'd never have to hear about nuclear disarmament again. I didn't think we'd have to worry about the things we're worrying about again in the world. And, but it made for a good musical.
This is a kind of a hard left turn, but we are out of time. But I wanted to ask you about one credit, and I don't think that you could guess what it is.
Okay.
It is Ralph Stilton on BoJack Horseman.
Awesome.
I love that. I love that show. It's an animated series on Netflix, and you play like possibly the only reasonable character.
Yes, he is.
Do you have fun doing that? How did that come about?
That came about, it was just Raphael called me, and it was a thing where like, hey, they want you to do this. And I was like, I love that show. That thing is brilliant. The way that animated series are put together, and I also just did an animated film, Ferdinand, which went on for like a few years. These animated projects, you're kind of alone in the room. And you're reading these lines and improvising, and someone else is doing it somewhere else. And you're throwing out ideas, and then they edit it together later. So they write this fantastic script. That staff, they're just outrageous. We would do a reading of the whole script, and then you kind of go into the studio by yourself and play with the LA team on your headphones. And it feels like a little dream that you're part of for half an hour or an hour, and then you go away, and then they put it together several months later, and you're like, hey, that's my voice. Ralph, I think I was hiking in Utah the first time the job came up, and I said, well, I'm in Utah, I can't possibly record this. And they're like, oh, we'll find a place. No, it wasn't Utah, it was Wyoming. I was like in Jackson Hole, and they found a studio in Jackson Hole where I recorded Ralph for the first time. And it was supposed to be, I think, a one-off, and then he ended up becoming a character that came back. I have spoken to Amy and Will, we've all been on the phone together, but we haven't been in the same room. I think the series is utterly brilliant. I think it is a satire as sharp as a razor blade. And I've worked with Aaron Paul, but we were both like, hey, we're both on BoJack, but neither of us was ever together there. We worked together on The Path. It's a show we're all very proud of. And it's cutting and smart and always moving too. And there's such a sweetness to Ralph. Yes, he's trying to make the best of some awkward situations. And he's always kind of seeing, the bright side of things. He's got that quality. He's like, well, how about this? And he tries to turn everything into a greeting card phrase. He's still got that quirky quality that all those characters have. He's odd, obviously, and he's got a great sense of humor. It was a lot of fun to do, I loved visiting that world for a while.
Well, this has been a lot of fun for me, and I've loved visiting this world, and I thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Raul Esparza is starring in The Waves at Vassar and New York Stage and Film's Powerhouse Theater in Poughkeepsie, New York, July 19th through the 29th. He is also serving as creative consultant for the production and its development. To learn more, visit powerhouse.vassar.edu. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.